Welcome to the CoFit podcast, everyone. This is Andre Tomlin from The Mental Elf, and I'm here today with Professor Samuele Cortese. He is a psychiatrist and professor of child and adolescent psychiatry at the University of Southampton. We've seen an enormous response to this coronavirus pandemic. And from mental health research, particularly, the community of mental health researchers internationally have started up a huge number of studies. From your perspective, why do you feel that mental health research matters right now?
So I would say that since the beginning of the pandemic, the focus, of course, in terms of health has been on finding effective treatments and possibly a vaccine for this. But of course, this is important, this is crucial, but researchers in the mental field wanted to highlight that also mental issues are relevant. I would say because of two reasons. The first one is that there are consequences in terms of mental health related to the restrictions and the way the pandemic has been managed. I'm thinking, for instance, people who lost their job. So clearly this has an impact on mental health. Second, we are becoming more and more aware of possible direct consequences of the virus on the brain and then on a behavior. For instance, in my field, I'm a child and adolescent psychiatrist by background, and my area of expertise is around attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. So the influenza, the flu, influenza flu in 1918, the so-called Spanish flu, was described an increase in the number of children who presented with behaviors that nowadays we would label as ADHD. So there is likewise currently a concern that the virus could lead to an increase, to a direct increase of mental health and behavioral neurodevelopmental issues. So I think that the focus of from the mental health research community has been to remind people that in addition to the efforts on finding the treatment and the vaccine for this virus, we should not forget the impact on mental health.
And I guess even before the pandemic, we were already talking about a crisis in mental health services. What has this pandemic done to increase this crisis? And I'm thinking particularly about people who are already experiencing health and social inequalities.
Indeed, we were aware of these inequalities, and the pandemic has amplified this, in particular considering the difficulties related to conducting a comprehensive assessment and follow-up and treatment. So as you are saying, we just seeing a kind of, things amplified during the pandemic, but we were aware of this before the pandemic. And we were also aware that in terms of research, for instance, the proportion of funding, research funding allocated to mental health was not sufficient. And so we should bear in mind this during the pandemic, and we should highlight the need for a focus on mental health in terms of clinical action, but also research.
So you're the coordinator of the UK section of a recent study that started up called the COFIT study, COHFIT. So you've got a great acronym, as all mental health research studies need. Tell us, what is this study and how does it stand out from the hundreds of coronavirus mental health studies that have started up in recent months?
Yes, so actually the acronym stands for Collaborative Outcome Study on Health and Functioning During Infection Times. And we try to find an acronym which sounds like COVID in a way, COVID. So you are right in saying that there is a large number of surveys on mental health in this country, but also at the international level. And I think all of these are really valuable and they can be helpful the scientific community. I would say that COVID is different, at least in three aspects, I would say. So the first one is that it is, to our knowledge, the largest international survey of this kind. There are more than 145 countries involved in this survey, with more than 200 researchers across the globe who are collaborating with this survey. And so why is this important? Because we are applying the same questions to all these countries. And so this will allow us to understand, to better appreciate how different ways of facing or of managing the pandemic from different governments may lead to different outcomes, to different effects. The second aspect is that this survey is translated in 29 languages. And we think this is important to allow people in our country who are not familiar with English, or whom English is not the first language, to still be able to take part in the survey, choosing hopefully one of the languages they are familiar with. And the third aspect, which I think is important as well, is that it is true that there is a large number of surveys out there, but in general, they tend to focus on specific age groups or on specific aspects of physical health or mental health. By contrast, COVID is more comprehensive, at least we believe so, because it is really aimed to address a large number of physical and mental health consequences of the pandemic, as well as coping strategies, access to care, and behavioral aspects, lifestyle aspects. So we think it's really comprehensive, and this will allow us to better understand the impact of the pandemic.
So tell us about some of the initial findings. You've recently reported on some of your preliminary findings from the study. What have you found out? What's most surprised you?
Sure. So we were able to analyze the initial data from about 2,000 participants in the UK. And most of them were between the age of 29 and 51, and three quarters of them there were women. So we were able to analyze the psychological and psychosocial impact of the pandemic, mainly in terms of stress, loneliness, and anger. And we did find that one third of the respondents reported a severe impairment, a severe worsening in these aspects. And another third reported a moderate worsening. So mainly two thirds of the population who participated into COVID reported an impact, a significant psychosocial impact of the pandemic. And this is very significant. I was also interested in seeing another variable that we were able to analyze because we had enough statistical power, enough numbers to analyze, which is related to altruistic behaviors. So I would like to highlight that an important aspect of COVID is to focus not only on the risk factors, but also on the protective factors. And in this respect, we found that one out of five participants reported an increase, a significant increase improvement in altruistic behavior. The third aspect we were able to analyze was related to the coping strategies. And we found that in women, the most important coping strategies were direct personal contact or interactions, exercise or walking, and internet use, in this order. In men, the most effective, the most common coping strategies were internet use, exercise or walking, and direct personal contact or interaction in this order. So quite an interesting difference between women and men in relation to coping strategies. And the final result, which I think is important, is that when we ask participants to rate the degree of satisfaction in terms of the government policy during the pandemic, 17% declared they were satisfied. The rest was neutral or not satisfied. So I think that these are initial results, which of course need to be confirmed in larger larger sample, but they are quite important in terms of public health.
So you mentioned earlier that the study is still very much open and that people can go online and complete the survey, and it's available in many different languages.
Yes, so the website can be accessed via www.coh-fit, so COFIT with a hyphen. And it is quite simple in terms of access. It is anonymous, as I said. So if somebody wishes to complete this study, they just need to access the website to complete the initial questions. As I said, we ask for demographic data, and also there is a special code which will allow us to connect the people living in the same family. Even if it is anonymous, we will be able via this code to connect and to conduct interesting analysis in terms of what's happening at the family level. And then there is a series of questions that cover basically all the main aspects related to psychopathology, but also the main aspects related to physical health, as well as coping strategies, access to care, lifestyle, and a number of other behavioral variables. The survey can be completed by anyone in the general population. There are no specific entry exclusion criteria, starting from the age of 6. And actually, there is a version for adults, a version for adolescents, and another for children. The version for adults lasts about 30 minutes. So we do appreciate it is not a quick survey, but if we want to understand in a comprehensive way risk factors and protective factors to inform policies for the future and to help people, we cannot rely on a quick survey. The good thing is that one can take breaks, it can be stopped, and then it can be taken after some time. So even if it is 30 minutes, hopefully the majority of people would be able to complete it. And then there is a version for adolescents, which is shorter, slightly shorter, and it doesn't include some of the questions for adults. And then the version for children is about 50 minutes. Of course, it is simplified and it includes a series of questions which have been phrased according to developmentally appropriate considerations. And we do recommend children can complete the survey on their own, but we do recommend parents to assist them during the completion of the survey, especially if they are, we are talking about young children ages 6 or 7. And so far we had from the UK about 2,000 participants, which is a good number, but unfortunately is less than what other countries were able to have. For instance, in Italy, more than 10,000 participants were recruited into COFIT, and in Germany, more than 8,000 participants completed the survey. So we really invite everyone to complete COFIT, because this will allow us to have a sufficient statistical power to analyze and to assess in an appropriate way the all the variables, all the aspects that we are interested in.